Chris Yates, Sarah Spain, Harry Lyles Jr., Frank Isola. Stepping on other people's grass, not trusting other people's benches, forlorn handshakes. Let's go around the forlorn. Also, in a week of crazy, insane finishes, the most crazy, insane Travis Shen mockery of an international incident. Let's go. Red Bull over Mercedes with controversy.
Controversy!
We get to it for the second.
Bucks walk off the Bills. Brady's second career walk-off pass. The 700th touchdown pass of his career, postseason included. How we got there is a lot about how the Bills came back and Josh Allen carried them back, how Tampa allowed them to come back. But here, contact on Diggs on the key third down play in the end zone, no flag. It was one of many interference calls Buffalo was shaking their head about. Earlier in the game, a clear pull on Diggs' shirt, no call. Later in the overtime, the call that Mike Evans and Tom Brady got, the ball barely lands on the screen on some of the replays. Also, Buffalo's decision to kick for the tie instead of win it at the end of the game. Makes sense of those calls and the play call, Frank. Did that Bills team, needing a win, lose it by playing safe, or show you something, at least in the way they came back?
I mean, 22 seconds left, no timeouts, and I think that play on third down, it should have been a pass interference. I think that spooked the Buffalo Bills. They had been playing well. They had the momentum. And let's remember, too, they won the coin toss. They had the ball in overtime and couldn't move. If there should have been a pass interference call there, and, of course, Tom Brady and Tampa Bay, they benefited from a pass interference call. So I think Buffalo played well. I think it was the right call. Obviously, they lost the game, but I think in that moment, it was the right call.
I think you called it a must win on Friday, Frank, having seen the effort they put in to make the comeback. Did it accomplish what they needed? Well, they must show up at least. They did that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to be happy. It's a loss. I'm not going to be happy with that. But at least my team, you're questioning their toughness, their character, and they showed you something in the second half of that game. The other part about this, here's New England not doing anything, and they actually gained ground in first place in the division.
Harry Lyles Jr. on the end of this game.
So I know that they ended up getting the coin toss in overtime and things like that. I think in that instance, though, on that fourth and two, go for it there, whether you get the first down or the touchdown, because you probably shouldn't have been in the game at that point in the first place. So to me, when you put your team in that position to begin with, why not go for the win? Because even if you do go to overtime, like you said, they got the coin toss, they had the football, but you're still giving Tom Brady a sliver of hope. And we know that is not a good business to be in. Go for the win there.
Sarah Spade.
Yeah, you saw a couple weeks ago that they went for it against the Titans. Instead of kicking for the tie and forcing overtime, it didn't work out for them. Maybe they were thinking about that in this game. We worked so hard to get into it. Now we want to give ourselves a chance in OT. But you're facing Tom Brady and the Bucks, a team that's better than you. So you should have tried to win it there. And I didn't take a lot from the second half. I like that they didn't lie down, and I like that there was some fight in them. But I think when you look at that second half, it's hard to distinguish whether that was the result of the Bucks having a huge lead and sort of sitting back and not pushing the way that they were in the first half, or was really about an improved Bills offense.
McDermott said, I saw something I'm real proud of in this team in the second half. Clinton Yates, your takeaway.
I'm fine with that, but I didn't love the decision-making at the end of the half. You didn't have to kick it. You didn't have to go for the end zone. You could have gotten a first down that allowed you a little bit more time to make a different decision. I realized they were out of timeouts, but I thought they could have split the difference on that and given themselves a better option. However, I do think there's something to be said about this Bills team coming back against the defending champions on the road. Overall, this team is a team that kind of has figured it out. They just have to execute. However, it's going to be a problem for them to execute if they can't even run the football. They ran the ball zero times with running backs in the first half. That hasn't happened in the league since 1991. That's got to change if they're going to be
clinging to a playoff spot right now. Still on the pass interference for me. Do we just live in a world where we get to say, well, Tom Brady gets that call, but Josh Allen doesn't, Frank?
Well, it certainly seemed like that. And to Clinton's point, though, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, they're throwing the ball into the end zone. They're not going to go for a first down there because the clock's going to be running. And again, you don't have any timeouts. And I think that's why they were spooked. That play, that should have been first down at the 1 yard line, 22 seconds left.
Feels like there's a flag when defensive backs don't turn around. We all know this. Oh, he didn't turn around. That's poor technique. I don't know. Why are we giving flags for poor technique, honestly? I mean, if the ball lands, he turned around. The ball did not land in the shot on some of the replays.
All right? It was so underthrown. Well, maybe that's on purpose, or maybe it's poor technique that the ball was underthrown as well. I never get the whole poor technique flag. Defensive back has so much against them in defense, but the poor technique also gets a flag, too? I don't buy it. We'll move on. Right. Handshakes. There's an entire reel of all-time NFL handshakes. Harbaugh and Schwartz is on that. Belichick has a few of those. Well, now we can add Urban Meyer's forlorn days. Let's go around the forlorn.
What's the answer? Start leaking information or some nonsense? No. No, that's nonsense. That's garbage. What someone's brother said or someone said, that will... That will occupy very little of my time. And if there is a source, that source is unemployed. I mean, within
1-0 was the final. 2-11 is the record. Trevor Lawrence, another. Why? He's not taking steps forward, that's for sure, as the season goes on. 4 interceptions. Loose ships sink lips. Harry Lyles, the state of the Jaguars.
It's not looking good. Look, that handshake says that Urban Meyer does not take losses very well, and that's something that we knew about him before he took this job. A lot of the things that we knew about Urban Meyer before he took this job are why a lot of people are seeing this today and they're saying, I told you so, because of the way that his career has gone. Yes, he's been a winner, but he has a very authoritarian style, right? He doesn't have to answer to anybody. People below him can't say this or that. And it showed itself in multiple ways this year. It wasn't just yesterday, right? We had the Chris Doyle hiring. He thought he could get away with that one. He did not ride back with the team on the team plane when they were in Cincinnati. And then there was the ensuing video and how he handled that. So, you know, I think at this point now, Jacksonville has to really take a good look at themselves, right? Shad Khan, the owner, and Urban Meyer both have to look at each other and ask, who is really benefiting from this? Because right now, I don't think that you could say that either party is. And moreover, if we're talking about the future of the Jaguars, you're hurting Trevor Lawrence. And he was a player that we thought was going to be a given coming into this year.
The idea, though, Harry, if I can ask a follow-up, that there's a mole with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as Urban said, that person's already fired if there is anybody.
Yeah, this is just not, it doesn't stick. And you know, we've seen this from Urban Meyer before. He said that he's never dealt with anything like this in his career. He literally did it in 2018 with Ohio State. I just don't understand why we're doing this little charade, but, you know, to each their own.
Our Spain.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming to me because I was invoked by Harry. I told you so. Sorry, but we could have seen this coming a mile away. This is a guy who at every turn has exhibited this behavior and then has left somewhere as soon as the seat got hot, whether that's because of wanting to cover up domestic violence by an assistant coach, whether that's criminal actions by his players. And there's always an excuse. It's health related. It's family related. My memory isn't good because of one thing, but don't worry, I can remember all the football stuff. Just none of the text messages or conversations I had about this criminal act. This guy has been like this. And when he arrived, he showed he was going to be the same guy at the NFL. And Harry mentioned a number of those cases. The reason why there's a mole is because if you disrespect people who work for you, you make it about how you're a winner and they're a loser. You expect them to show up with a resume proving to you why they deserve to be on a staff for a losing Jags team.
You believe all
that. You're going to get people.
All that is alleged. You believe all that.
Absolutely. Because the way he addresses it, too, isn't this didn't happen. It was, well, so it was like this. And I'm not sure why they're saying it was like that. It was like that. And you didn't see it that way because that's the perspective of someone who has strolled through life, especially with young people and boosters and everybody else emboldening that behavior. Well, it's the pros now and the players aren't going to take it.
Frank, I saw you shaking your head. No, can I bring you in here? The idea that there's a mole in Jacksonville, I think, is what you want to address?
And he admitted that he got into it with Marvin Jones, but it's not as bad as it was made out to be. Come on, in a highly competitive environment with a losing team, I would hope that emotions are running high with the team. That's better than, hey, everyone's cool, we're all getting along. No one wants to hear that. And I think you guys are being a little unfair here. He took over a team that went 1-15 a year ago. They're 14-47 in the last 3.5 years. Need I remind you, Jimmy Johnson, coming from college, going to the NFL, was 1-15. Let's give the guy... Can we give him at least one season before we decide he can't coach? All he did was win in college. And who knows about the quarterback? We don't know if the quarterback's any good. He's got a rookie quarterback who clearly is struggling. I think it's a little unfair.
And Clinton Yates.
Speaking of poor technique, Tony, do you know how hard it is to shake somebody's hand while keeping your other hand inside of your actual pocket and walk at the same time? Mm-hmm. Very difficult. I can't believe he executed that. But when you're the person being accused of being condescending and belligerent to people that you work with, if somebody asks you about it, if you are in return condescending and belligerent about what is actually happening, people are going to assume one thing, which is obvious. You're not a very good leader. The football doesn't matter. You got a mole. Why don't you teach your mole to score some points? Because your team can't do it. All that matters overall is that this does not seem to be a team that follows this guy, and that's what you need most at the top at the NFL.
All that matters overall is that they were shut out yesterday and have two wins on the season. All right. One more story here. Logo stops. There's an entire reel of those as well in NFL history. This one, though, this was more of the, we'll have our huddle on top of your grass in your face. How's that? This backfired immediately for the Raiders. Everybody saw it. Everybody knew it. Raiders players were even like, yeah, that was a bad idea. That probably motivated them. That's exactly what Mahomes said. It motivated us. 48-9 KC. Sarah, did the Raiders just awaken KC for the rest of the league? What was this?
Well, to paraphrase the 2000 classic Bring It On, it had already been awoken. I don't think they needed to awaken anything. The Chiefs had already figured their you-know-what out, and they were going to beat this Raiders team, which has been in free fall for a number of reasons anyway. But we love the story of saying it was about the logo. And if that gave them even the slightest bit more heat coming out of that opening kickoff, then what are you doing, Raiders? You had enough drama this season already. If you're trying to hype yourselves up, try to do it in a way that's not going to hype up the other team as well.
I don't have a problem with the logo move. This team has gone through it like I don't know what. But let's not get too crazy about the Chiefs, okay? They've scored all these points in their little boomlet. More than 50% of them have come against the Raiders. So it's not like they're doing this against everybody in the league. They just happen to have this team's number from a divisional standpoint. They look good, but I'm not sending them to the Super Bowl.
But you didn't have a problem with stepping on the logo, stepping on blades of grass in a different part of the field?
No, I'm not an old man, and I don't tell people to get off my lawn.
Hey, okay. Frank Isola. Look, you're here too.
That wasn't old men on the Chiefs that were saying it. That was a young Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. By the way, the Chiefs scorigamied Las Vegas. But as they say, the Raiders were the ones doing most of the folding. I'll tell you what, the one thing about the Raiders, it's all about these silly things that they do in terms of, stepping on a logo. They have the great uniforms. I'll give them that. But for 20 years, they haven't won a playoff.
They have the great uniforms.
Where is the excellence?
I'll give them that. Harry Lyle's last word.
Can we acknowledge that the reason that people get upset over these, logo stompings and flag plantings, that's part of what makes sports great. I don't necessarily think that the Chiefs need that added motivation.
Stress.
But I do think that it is noteworthy that after that game, that was the largest margin of victory in that rivalry.
All right. This was the rivalry last year when Vegas won. They took the bus around the stadium twice, which never made sense to me. Who wants to spend more time on a bus? Frank, are you going to go drive around the George Washington Bridge twice after today's show?
Of course. It'll take about 3 hours to get home. Clinton called Patrick Mahomes.
You waiting a win?
Call him old. Old man.
No, I called you old, Frank.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by the United States Postal Service. Priority you.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Latest on Lamar Jackson's ankle. Ravens telling Diana Rossini it's a low ankle sprain. Remember, if you want to sprain your ankle, you want to sprain the low one, not the high one. We don't have a timetable. The hit, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, was kind of low and twisting when he made the hit. When Myles Garrett stripped and scored Tyler Huntley, it looked like this game was over, but Huntley balled. Browns browned a bit, needed a last-minute stop. And with how the Bengals lost, Brandon Ayuk, you could watch this live and be like, no way, no way. And then on the replay, Keanu Reeves, whoa. And it's a touchdown. Walk-off win for San Fran. With that result, the AFC North is tight. Clinton, what are you buying? What are you selling in the North?
I'm buying the fact that one of the most exciting things in football is waiting for a two-minute review and then walking off the field. No, I'm kidding. That was a weird ending. But I don't think that any team from that division is going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm selling the fact that the Ravens without Lamar Jackson are really going to be much of a factor. I realize their record is that good, but this team is out of gas, and it appears to be so.
Spain?
Yeah, I'm selling the Ravens. They've got the Packers, the Rams, the Bengals, the Steelers. Their finishing schedule is so tough. And they were already in a decline where we were wondering if Lamar, who had been holding them up all season, was going to get back to form. And now with the ankle, oof.
But with the Bengals and Steelers, in some way, they may control their own destiny. Harry Lyles, what are you buying out of the North?
Destiny
right now?
is predetermined.
I'm definitely buying concern for the Ravens, but I'm selling that they're out of this division. Look, we've seen that every single team in this division could be really, really good when they're at their best. We were even talking about the Bengals arguably being one of the best teams in the NFL the first 5 weeks. But Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team is experienced. Even if he's going to be limited, I think that they've got the experience to where that they can inch their way in, but they're not going to be a contender.
And Frank Isola.
Yeah, I agree with Harry. You know, there's one thing about Baltimore and that head coach. They know how to win games late in the season, but I would like to see it be Cincinnati. Something new. Let's see Joe Burrow in the playoff. That's what I'd want to see.
So it's just what you want to see? Is that what it comes down to, Frank? What I would like to see.
Yes, I root for what I want to see.
I'm in the college football playoff.
Buy or sell two, how the Cowboys made good on Mike McCarthy's guarantee. First, they did it easily and defensively. Heineke was just destroyed all day. And then they did it barely and very Dallas-like when they almost blew it. The Dak pick six.
Oof.
But through it all, they did it comfortably because they had their own benches that they brought because they heard Washington had been bad and cold away benches this season, so they brought them in. Frank, what are you buying? What are you selling from Dallas's convincing, non-convincing win?
It's that little thing that Jerry Jones does, which the players are going to like. As for the game itself, I am really concerned about Dak Prescott. You showed the pick six. Last 4 weeks, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Not good.
Glenn Yates.
I'm really concerned about Heineke finding random pairs of scissors on the field when he's leaving the field of play. That was terrifying. But overall, I think that Jerry Jones is just jamming it to Dan Snyder because he's showing him that he's bigger, badder, richer, and his football team dominates because more people show up to watch theirs than watch
his. So you think Jerry was sticking it to Snyder with the whole bench
yes.
thing? Yeah. Did this really have any impact, Sarah?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I have the same concerns about Dak and the Cowboys. They did end up winning the game. I think they would have won anyway, but they come in with a little extra swagger. They assert themselves as the team that's already more dominant and more beloved than the Washington team, and then they do so with their logo emblazoned across their field. They were going to win anyway, but they did it with Toasty Heinies, and that feels better.
And Harry Lyles.
Yeah, guys, this isn't about what any of us are buying. It's about what Jerry Jones is buying. Look, as your place as the team owner, there's only so many things that you could do. If you're willing to shell out some money to get some warm benches when the Seahawks said that theirs were not working in Washington, I got to give Jerry Jones respect for doing anything that he can in his hands to win. That's one thing.
What was it, like 50 degrees in Washington yesterday? I mean, I think we're overstating exactly what the benches are about here.
Yeah, but he did it for his team, though.
That division may be over now, right? Dallas is up 3 with 4 to play. That division is just about done. You can't be that upset about nearly clinching your division, no matter how it looked in the end. Harry Lyles, Frank Isola, no matter how it looks in the end, the technique today was perfect. Don't worry about it. I'm not flagging you for technique. Glenn Yates, Sarah Spain, showdown. 2 minutes.
Bringing a throne to showdown. It's my own personal bench. So.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Monday Night Football, two teams that play each other twice a year. Rams, Cardinals. Arizona romped LA in week four. Tonight the game is in Arizona. Cards can be the first team to punch a ticket to the playoffs. Clint Yates, how will it be won and who you got?
If it's going to happen for the Rams, it's going to be Cooper Kupp, who explained to us how much he knows about football. But I think it's going to be the Cardinals. James Conner scored in six straight games, and they're at home.
Sarah Spain?
If it's going to happen for the Rams, it's the D-line being able to disrupt Kyler Murray. But despite him still sort of recovering from injury, ain't going to happen. Cardinals get the win.
So you both have Arizona here, clinching a playoff spot, basically wrapping up the division as well. First 11-win team in the NFL. We'll move on. Craziest finish of the weekend. I've got three candidates. All right. MLS Cup was decided with insanity. Portland's super late goal in stoppage to force kicks, then in kicks, NYCFC winning the cup. Grey Cup decided by lunacy. Overtime, a double deflection INT to seal the win for Winnipeg. And Formula One Championship. Here it is. Something thrilling drama. Something Travis Shan mockery. Lewis Hamilton going for his record-breaking eighth, was leading, had to lead the whole way, but then a wreck away from it, and a safety car, and F1 deciding one lap to decide the whole championship. And that's where Max Verstappen, on new tires, and now within striking distance, took the lead. Hamilton's Mercedes team filed multiple complaints, all denied. Verstappen and Red Bull win the championship. There's a window for complaints. But you gotta hear this. This is an international incident, right? Listen to the exchange on the cans in real time.
Go ahead, Toto.
You need to reinstate the lap before. That's not right.
Toto?
Yes.
It's called a motor race, okay?
Sorry?
We went to car racing.
They went to car racing is the explanation? Sarah, did F1 make it better or worse by going with that one lap finish?
They made it worse because they violated their own rules, and the decisions made by Hamilton and his crew were based on their belief that they would follow their own rules, which they didn't. So they penalized the guy in front. They made it worse. It was a Travis Shamma.
They made it worse because it was unsafe. You should have put the red flag out and then had three laps under competition. They didn't do that. But the best ending to all of this is, of course, Lewis Hamilton is getting knighted next week, which is cooler than anything having to do with F1.
Clint Yates, I know you watched the whole race. And I realized I asked about three finishes and then only made the question about one. That's how crazy the international incident was. Clinton Yates, take the FaceTime.
Over the weekend, a video went viral that featured four school teachers doing something called a dash for cash at a junior hockey game in South Dakota. It was embarrassing. It was depressing to look at, to think that our educators in this country need that kind of help and have to stoop to that level just in order to make their classroom safer and more fun. Give teachers more money for every single thing they do. It's the reason why any of us are smart.
Wow. Clint Yates, you'd like to give a shout out to your favorite teacher or one of your favorite teachers right now?
My sister, Dr. Kim Yates.
There you go. We'll see you tomorrow.
My wife. Pay her.
Happy Hour is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly.